The Gospel reading for this second Sunday in the Easter season comes from the Gospel of John. It is very traditionally read every year on this Sunday, and you'll see why in a moment. This is John 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told them, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Well, a week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out and put your hand into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This ends our scripture readings for this Sunday morning. God, as always, is speaking to us through these words, and when God speaks, those words are always true. We can always trust them. Would you pray with me, please? May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I actually have a second reading for you this morning. This is a poem by a friend of mine. Her name is Kate Fransman. She wrote this for Easter morning several years ago. She was a member of the church I used to be at. This is called In Spite of Everything. The tomb, so dark. The stone, so heavy. The odds are so stacked against life in this place, our place. Stacked against life, against hope, against love, against joy. Yet, the stone that should not have rolled away does. The light that didn't need to shine fills the darkest space. And now, this day, this moment, this one, is filled with all that is good. In spite of everything we expected, and beyond anything we deserve, it is filled with all that is needed, all that could ever be, and more. This sermon is going to be a bit shorter than usual, because I am quite eager this morning to get to the your turn segment of our time together. I want to ask you a question that, for me personally, has been one of the most persistent questions I have tried to answer for as long as I can remember. Today's story of Thomas struggling to believe gives me a perfect opportunity to ask this question. So brace yourselves. This should be interesting. Poor Thomas has gotten a bad rap over these 2,000 plus years. Doubting Thomas, we've always called him, And this has always been meant as an accusation, not as a compliment. That's been a mistake made all too often, I think. Too many of us, you see, have tended to equate doubt with sin. But that equation is pretty much completely wrong. Doubt is not sin. Doubt is rather asking questions, seeking evidence, trying to make sense of it all, often trying to make sense of things we are inclined to believe, but in real life we find it very difficult to believe. In fact, Thomas may have been the least doubtful of the disciples. It was Thomas, you may remember, who earlier had told Jesus he would follow him wherever he went. "Just show me the way," he said, "and I will go." And it was Thomas who, when Jesus announced he was returning to Jerusalem, probably to face all kinds of trouble, Thomas said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go with him so that we may die with him." And remember too, before the evening of Easter, when Jesus appeared to the other 10 disciples, showing up in their locked room without coming through the door, none of them believed he was alive either. It wasn't until they saw Jesus in the flesh, so to speak, with their own eyes, that they could announce to Thomas later, "We have seen the Lord." Doubt is not sin, you see. Doubt is asking questions, seeking evidence and understanding. All Thomas is asking for is what his fellow disciples have already experienced, to see the Lord with his own eyes. And so, when Jesus does show up the next Sunday, again without bothering to knock on the locked doors, Thomas does see him with his own eyes, and he is very quick to confess out loud, "My Lord and my God." As my friend Kate wrote in her beautiful poem, the light that didn't need to shine fills the darkest space, and now this day, this moment, this one is filled with all that is good. And it's then that Jesus who moves the story along toward the point he was heading toward. He says to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you believe? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And you see, don't you, that this story isn't about Thomas at all. It's about us, about you and me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And that, of course, is all of us. We who also have not seen and have somehow come to believe. At least we come close enough to believing something that we are drawn here Sunday after Sunday. And this is where I want to turn things over to you a bit earlier than usual in the sermon time. I want to ask you this question that has puzzled me for a lot of years now, since I was maybe 12. I was a precocious kid. The disciples need to see the Lord before they can believe, before they could even grasp that he was really alive. What do you need? What do you need in order to believe? It's not an easy question. I'm sorry to spring it on you like that, but I want you to take a second and think about it. Because it is, of course, possible to not believe. We aren't born with faith, you know. The faith to believe such an unlikely story as the resurrection of Jesus has to be acquired or received or revealed somehow. So I really want to hear from you. This believing thing has been difficult for me for really as long as I can remember. Some days I think I am a person of faith. Other days, I'm pretty sure I'm not. This is the uncomfortable roller coaster ride that I have been given. So help me out here, folks. What do you need in order to believe that Jesus is